Hey everyone, I'm interrupting this episode because I want to tell you about a free masterclass that I'm hosting. I'm constantly hearing from motion designers and studio owners that they just don't have the time to work on their businesses. And I get it, it's hard to wear all the hats in your business and stay on top of everything. When the project ends, do you find yourself scrambling for the next gig on LinkedIn or sending a ton of cold emails? This just isn't sustainable in the long run. I found that building systems and processes in my business to free up my time was the best way to grow a business and have more time to do the things that I love. It's not easy, but I want to share with you what I've learned over the past few years and also what I've been teaching my students in my courses. So I'm hosting a free masterclass on the 21st of May for freelance motion designers and studio owners who are looking for more balance. After Balance Business Masterclass, you're going to walk away with a system to help you save time, make more money, and work on fun and creative projects. Of course, I'll also be doing a live Q&A to answer any questions that you have. And I'm going to invite just 20 people to work with me inside my coaching program, Balance Business Bootcamp. This won't open again until later this year. So if you want to get access to that and you want to join us in this free masterclass, then go and find the link in the show notes to register or go to motionhatch.com/pod. Hope to see you in there. Now let's get back to this episode.
I think that there is a subliminal kind of bank that you are putting money into every time you put content out in the world, because where people find it valuable, they will start to put you, your name, your personal brand, your presence on a shelf that is above everybody else.
Hey, Hatchlings, welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. Hey, Hatchlings, thank you so much for being here. This is episode 60 of the Motion Hatch podcast. Can't quite believe we've got to 60 episodes. Today, we have a great guest on the show, Philip Van Dusen. He is a founder of Verhaal Brand Design, a brand strategy, design, and marketing agency based in New Jersey. He also has a great YouTube channel where he shares his expertise around marketing, design, and entrepreneurship. We talked about a lot of things in the podcast, and I know it's going to be very helpful for you. We talked about how to get more clients through partnerships and content marketing. And we also talked about how we can start to dip our toes into brand strategy as motion designers and how that will help us get more clients and make more money. So let's get into the episode. Hey, Philip, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Hayley. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Do you want to tell the audience a bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is Philip Van Dusen, and I am the owner of Verhaal Brand Design, which is a branding agency on just outside of New York City in the United States on the East Coast. I specialize in brand strategy and graphic design for entrepreneurs and small to medium-sized businesses. I've had a 25-plus year career both on the global agency as well as the global corporation side as a senior creative executive. And about 5 years, I went out on my own and started building my own agency and my own brand.
Nice. So I want to ask you a lot of questions today because I think you can help the audience a lot with things like content marketing and strategy and stuff like that. So we're just going to dive right into it. So I wanted to ask you first, if you have any quick tips and things like that about how we can stand out as motion designers.
I think the biggest challenge right now, and we talked a little bit about this when we were in London, Hayley and I met in London at the Upreneur conference there and had a conversation. I think that one of the things that I've noticed a lot in the industry over the last 5 to 10 years is that design and any kind of creative product or service is getting increasingly commoditized. And part of that is due to the fact that we now have a global economy and you can get creative services from anywhere in the world, from anybody in any culture. And that's created an incredible amount of downward pricing pressure on us as creative people. My advice, my kind of overarching umbrella advice, and one of the things that I talk a lot about on my YouTube channel and to my listeners is the importance of broadening your skill sets into more intellectual, strategic partnerships with your clients. So essentially, in order to survive in today's creative economy, you really have to do more. You have to be more than just a motion designer, an animator, a film editor. You've got to try to nurture and develop a language of business to become more of a kind of an indispensable strategic partner for your clients.
That's really true. And I think it's a really hard thing for people to do, and people aren't sure like how to go about doing this kind of thing, because there's a lot of complaint all the time about like Fiverr and Upwork and all of these kind of platforms, especially people who have been like doing in the industry for a long time and stuff like that. So how do you think that we could add strategy into kind of our businesses as motion designers?
I think self-education is paramount. Let me take an example. When I was working in the apparel industry for the first 20 years of my career and was at a very senior level, I was vice president at a major global apparel company, and I got laid off after a major kind of restructuring. And I was in my mid-40s and I knew nothing about strategic branding. I had been managing huge creative teams doing large projects, but I didn't know anything about strategic branding processes. I flipped over from the corporate side to the agency side, and it was just this incredible eye-opening experience in terms of the processes and intellectual rigor that go into developing the strategy around a brand. And I had to self-educate because I was plopped in at a very senior level to a big global agency, and I was kind of being expected to know what I was doing. And to a certain extent, I didn't. I had to become a student of brand strategy at a fairly advanced age. So I think that that's a really great parallel to people who have been in their careers and been able to make a living for a period of time doing what they do, is that there are times in our lives, these watershed moments, either in history or society, that we have to adjust to. They may not be ones that we want to have happen or ones that we have wished on ourselves, but we nonetheless have to address them. The beautiful part about all of this is that all of the knowledge of the entire world is available in our pocket on our phone. You can literally take brand strategy 101 courses in any number of places, and I'll be offering those on my own, and will offer them on my own, where you can teach yourself what the basic methodologies and strategies of doing brand strategy are. One of the ways for motion designers or animators to kind of tiptoe into that is, you know, you don't have to say, okay, I've got my animation and motion design offering here, but now I'm going to develop this entirely, you know, strategic deliverable over here. It doesn't have to be either or, you know, a major tack-on service. What it can be in the beginning is just learning the vocabulary and the basic aspects of marketing and brand building communication that your clients will need and use. And as a motion designer, you can essentially kind of tiptoe into that by starting to have conversations with your clients around communication strategy or customer journey or things that relate to a larger marketing deliverable or a larger marketing perspective that will influence your client's business beyond just delivering a digital product of, you know, your animation or your edit or whatever that is. You can start tiptoeing into larger conversations with your clients as you learn things and as you learn how to talk about them. Because that's what's going to, I talk about this analogy of like, you want to be on the tip of the spear, right? You want, there's an arrowhead on the end of the spear, and then there's a long shaft afterwards. If you're just delivering products and services, you're kind of on the shaft end of the spear. Overarchingly, you really want to move up to the point, because from the point, you can affect all of the work that a client does downstream, down towards the end of the spear. So you really want to move towards strategy and thinking, which is up to the front end of the spear. So in having those conversations with your clients around communication, around customer journey, around how you're communicating, what you're communicating, and what you're delivering for them, that will get you there. That will start moving. You'll start moving upstream, and you'll be starting to have larger, deeper conversations with your clients, which is what makes us partners. It helps us become a deeper level of partner for our clients.
Some of the kind of issues that we have in the motion design industry at the moment is things like people are sort of wondering, what should they be presenting themselves like as a studio? And like what you're suggesting, it would be better to present as a studio so that you could maybe kind of start having these more business to business type conversations. Do you think that that's necessarily true? Or do you think that a freelance motion designer can start like positioning themselves in this way?
I think that everyone needs to develop strategic partnerships in their own business. So I don't think any of us can survive as individual contributors and just have blinders on in terms of this is what I do, this is what I deliver, this is what my clients are going to pay me for. There are ways to make money and to get a larger piece of your client's business without actually having to do anything else. How you do that is through partnerships. One of the things I talk a lot about on my channel and I also train people on in my coaching is how to network and how to develop strategic partnerships with other service providers. If you're a motion designer, an animator, you might want to develop a relationship with a copywriter or a graphic designer or a strategist or a business development person or a client's account manager, where you can offer a broader level of service and a broader offering to your clients by bringing in partners who will work under the name of your agency, but will contribute a broader skill set to what you can offer your clients. And it doesn't mean that you as a motion designer animator have to learn anything else. All you have to learn is how to network and how to manage a project on a little bit more complex level in terms of writing proposals that are outside of the things that you understand, or managing projects where you're bringing in partners to work a piece of that project that will deliver a larger or more broader scoped deliverable to your client. So there are ways to scale your practice without actually bringing on full-time employees or, you know, renting a big space or taking on, you know, healthcare insurance and all the things that you have to do. You can just literally start to make strategic partnerships with other creatives and band together or make agreements. You know, if I get this work, if I get this project from this client and it includes strategy, will you work that project with me? And if so, can I mark up your work a little bit and then I'll pay you? They pay me the whole amount and I pay you what you're asking to be paid. And they'll say yes. I'm posting a video today actually on YouTube about how to make money with finder's fees. It's around this very subject. And I start off by saying it's never a problem working the work. What's a problem is finding the work. If you can find the work, you can find people to work the work. If you can sell in or create deeper relationships with your clients where you can sell in a broader spectrum of work, you can find partners to work it with you. Because of that, you can increase your revenue. You can increase what you're getting paid. You can deliver more things to your clients and take a percentage on the additional business that you're bringing in.
A lot of people are listening because they're like freelance motion designers and they're like not sure whether they want to do the business kind of stuff, like become the producer, become the kind of like project manager type person. Do you think that there's kind of ways they can get help from those kind of people, like without having to like hire someone full time and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's really about, like I said, tiptoeing into it and learning and trying and experimenting. I don't like to tell people that they can curl up with their particular skill set and that they will be insured from career disaster for the rest of their lives. It's just not the reality of the business environment today. You have to constantly learn, you have to constantly grow, and you have to constantly kind of adjust your approach in order to create career insurance. The days of being an individual contributor, single product, single service type of worker, if you're independent, are over. Hate to say it, they're over. Yes, it's difficult and it's challenging for people who are used to that comfort of being, you know, I just do this thing and I deliver that and I get paid without having to expand their skill sets. You really do have to constantly work to expand your skill set. It doesn't mean that you have to do it overnight or you have to be perfect overnight. You just have to be open to learning new things and trying new things.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because there's kind of a few different types of people in the audience. So there's a few people who work for agencies and production studios and stuff like that. And that's fine because you're kind of plugging into their strategy and their kind of brand building and their direct clients. But then there's a lot of people who are freelancers who say like, well, I want to get like direct clients and stuff like that. And I see this as like a way to potentially do that. And although I think that a lot of people would be like, that's terrifying. We have to like go out of our animation, motion design comfort zone.
Our comfort zone.
And like even like partnering with other people who do different things, like I can see that would be very beneficial because almost you can kind of become each other's clients in a way, which is quite nice. You know, if you find some partners that you can work with and who you like working with, who don't do the exact same thing as you, but I can see how it can be like tricky to start to make those kind of moves. Do you have any like basic tips of like how we can start having more business conversations and how we can meet more people outside of our industry as well?
Well, you and I met. I think that that's, you know, you're a motion design person. I'm a brand strategy and design and graphic design person. And we went to a conference in London and we met. And we started to have a conversation around what it is that you do. You offered paid mastermind courses. That's something that I'm moving into. So I knew that I wanted to develop a relationship with you to find out more around how you run your paid masterminds. Beneficial to you in the fact that you met me and I know a lot about brand strategy, personal brand building, content marketing. There's aspects of what I know that you wanted to learn, and there's aspects of what you know and are doing that I really need to learn. I think getting outside of your office, for one, is a place to start. The beautiful thing is that there are mastermind groups, like you offer a paid mastermind. I'm going to be offering a paid mastermind within weeks, actually, where people can develop relationships, learn what other people do, learn from them, leverage their skills. Those people can leverage your skills, and it's developing a broader network of people that you know and you trust and can offer things that you don't know or that you don't do. So one is masterminds. Two is getting to conferences and just putting your hand out. I know that a lot of creative people are very introverted. I am very introverted, actually. I take a long time to recover after social situations. But one of the things that I was told recently, and I'm a bit of a wallflower too, like I'm not really comfortable like going out and introducing myself to people that I don't know. In fact, you introduced yourself to me. I never would have done that, but it was great. It was totally helpful to me. Is that when I go to conferences or I'm in, you know, that networking room situation, is I was told, look for the person who's looking like you're feeling. If you're feeling scared and a wallflower and you don't want to meet people and uncomfortable, look for someone in the room who looks similarly uncomfortable and go out and just say, hey, are you feeling as uncomfortable in this situation as I am? I hate situations like this. I'm really bad at it. And 90% of the time they'll go, oh my God, yes, I'm really bad at it. And then you just say your name, they say their name, and then you just have a conversation. I've met some really amazing and some very senior people doing that. So there are ways to get out and meet people. So conferences, masterminds, you can go to, you know, co-working spaces in your neighborhood and meet people who are working there and ask them what it is that they do. Ask them out to coffee, have a conversation, start to develop friendship or a network. Here's the other thing. What you said actually made me think of this is that you don't have to be the one who's gathering all these partners and saying, can you work for me? Can I have you work this project for me and then somehow magically get your client to want to give you more and broader levels of work? What you can do is you can say to these people that you're meeting, hey, I do motion design and animation. If you ever have a client who you think might need motion design or animation, bring me into the project. I'd love to work with you. I'll totally work under the banner and the name of your agency. You can just pay me and you can mark up my fees, whatever you want to mark them up. I just need the work and I'd like to broaden my network of the clients and the type of work I'm doing. People love that. People love to have someone say, hey, I'll work for you and I will give you a broader level of skill and service than you're able to provide your clients. I can't tell you how many times I have a client who goes, and I just talked about on this video I'm posting today, I had a celebrity chef client who needed PR. She needed to get on more television shows and more radio shows. I don't do PR, but I know people who do. And so I reached out to some PR folks and I said, hey, I have this client who really needs PR, probably on a retainer basis. You want to work under my banner and supply PR to this person. Everyone loves work delivered to their doorstep. You know, no one likes going out and having to find it. If you can find work and come to another freelancer and say, hey, I got this client who needs this work. They've already said, yes, they trust me. They're going to trust you. You want to work under my banner and get some work? I've never had anyone say no. That's kind of how it works. It's the gig economy, but it's really the relationship economy. That's what it really is. You can't allow yourself to be out there on your own. It's a death sentence.
I think that's so true because I hear all the time all of the things that people are saying and that, oh, I don't know whether it's worth going to these conferences because I've talked a lot about this because obviously I've been to quite a lot of different types of business conferences and different types of creative conferences and stuff like that. And I think people just think it's like, kind of a long game, you know, and like maybe it's like, oh, really like horrible. You've got to go around and like give everybody your business card and stuff like this. And I don't know, I'm all for it. And I think I wouldn't be talking to you right now, like you said, and I wouldn't have this podcast and be doing Motion Hatch and all the different things I'm doing without kind of going to different types of events that weren't just motion design conferences. So yeah, I don't know, that wasn't really a question. I'm just trying to frame it from the audience.
I think it's a really great observation though, because the conference that we did go to was about personal branding and entrepreneurship. The people at that conference were a broad range of people in a number of different businesses. You're in motion design, I'm in branding and strategy. There were people there who were in the car lighting, you know, thing, who have a personal brand or experts on YouTube or podcast or whatever, who specialize in custom car lighting. I mean, people all sorts of shapes and sizes and industries and categories people are working in. Going to conferences or gatherings or trade shows or whatever, where there's a broader range, is a great way to go about it, because then you're getting outside of your industry. If you're just going to, you know, motion designer conferences, then yes, you're probably going to meet just other motion designers. I would encourage people to step out of that. And yes, it is hard. It's terrifying. No one likes networking. No one likes going to a cocktail party where you don't know anybody. But it's necessary. And there are ways, there are methods that you can use to make it less terrifying.
Do you want to talk a bit about like how we can sort of network better online and stuff like that? Because I know like we've talked quite a bit about conferences, but I think there's definitely lots of other ways, and probably this links a bit into personal branding as well, which I want to go into, which everyone's like, oh, personal branding is so icky. I know, I can hear them like saying back to me already, even though they're not here in the room, but I feel like everyone listening will be like, oh no, we have to all like do that kind of stuff. So yeah, it'd be great to just hear your thoughts about how we as motion designers can be better at networking online, and then also going into how to build a personal brand without being like an icky business person.
I think that's a great name for a book. Personal branding without being icky.
Oh, well, maybe I'll write it.
I think that's great.
Oh, you can write it.
That's a blog post. That's a blog post for you right there. You touched on a whole lot of different things. One is content marketing and how you can use that to build your network. And that is a great way to build your network. There are things that are as simple as just joining a Facebook group that's around a topic that you like. So it could be, you know, whether it's motion designers or whether it's branding or, you know, marketing agency people, where you join a Facebook group and just start interacting and commenting on people's posts and post something introducing you and your name and what you do, just so people can start to recognize you and have conversations with you. You could answer questions on Twitter. One of the things on Twitter that hardly anyone knows about is that you can do searches on Twitter for questions. So you can search, I need a logo done, or do you know anyone who designs logos? You can do searches like that, and it will pull up anyone who has said anything like that. And then you start answering them in their Twitter comments, or you start answering people in Facebook posts or group posts, and start to develop those relationships. One of the masterminds that I'm in right now was actually a breakout mastermind from a membership community that I was in. So I met a couple people within a forum of this paid community. And we said, I like the way you think. I'm loving how you're answering people's questions. You want to have a Zoom. So we would meet on Zoom. We'd talk. And then we'd meet somebody else and we'd say, hey, you want the three of us have a Zoom together and talk about what we do? And we do that. And before you know it, you build like four or five people where you're having a regular Zoom every week. And you're just talking and you're sharing clients that you're working with, your problems, your challenges, things you learned. That's how relationships grow. They can start with a conversation in a forum. They can start with an answer to a post. So that's one of the easiest ways to tiptoe into it, right? Is just get in the feed and start to make more direct conversational connections with people within forums and topic groups. Could be on LinkedIn, could be on Facebook, could be on answering questions on Twitter. There's any number of places to do that, you know, following hashtags in any number of places. When you move into content marketing, that's how I have built my agency business. When I left the corporate world, it was like I'd stepped out from the city into the jungle. It's like I knew nothing about where I was anymore. I'd been working in corporate and agency environments for 25 years, managing huge teams. I had all of the resources that I need on my doorstep. I didn't have to build anything. I didn't have to do anything other than manage people and projects. I didn't know about email marketing. I didn't know about list building. I didn't know about lead magnets. I didn't know about content marketing. I didn't know. And this was, you know, well on in my career, very senior level person. And I didn't know any of this stuff. So I had to learn all of this stuff from scratch starting about 6 years ago. When I started my own agency, I knew that number one, I hate marketing. I hate cold calling. I hate sending people emails and saying, hey, do you have any business or know anybody who has any business or whatever. I had heard about content marketing and how if you just put out great content and share what you know, that people will be a path to your door. And I thought, this sounds good because I have a wealth of experience of what I know and what I can share with people to help them learn and grow. So I'm just going to share that, no filters, and give back to the world for everything that I've been given in my career. And so I started a YouTube channel and I started just posting like 5 to 8 minute videos, just focusing on little topics of things that I know and that I could teach other people how to do. What that did was establish me as an expert in what I do. And as people saw those videos on YouTube, they would say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I think he could help me with my brand communication. I think he could be the guy to go to in order to redesign my website. Within a year and a half of my YouTube channel being up, 80% of the business to my agency was coming directly through YouTube. That blew my head away because I never sent out a single email on LinkedIn to a connection saying, you know, I'm looking for work, blah, 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 blah. Do you have any projects? I never made a cold call. It was all done 100% through content marketing and showing up in people's feeds. I'm like the poster boy of the success of content marketing. And I believe deeply in its value. Not only its value for you as the creative professional and how it can help your business, but also how it contributes to that relationship economy where you are sharing things that you know to the world, to the benefit of other people. And that I'm a firm believer in that positive karma will come back to you tenfold. And people say, you know, there's another thing, you know, people say, oh, I'm, you know, only out of school a year. I don't have that much experience. I don't have that many portfolio pieces. What do I know? What can I share to make me an expert? I'm not an expert. I'm still learning. Well, here's the thing. If you're just out of uni and you have 2 years of experience, there's someone who's 3 years behind you, who's a sophomore, junior year of college, who want to know desperately what you have learned in the last 3 years. There is always someone just behind you a few years who can benefit greatly from what you know. And if you just share what you know, who you are, honestly, where you are and what you're learning, there are people who will benefit from that. I'm a big believer in that and getting out there and doing that. And you're doing that, Haley. You're doing that with this show. And I'm doing it by coming on your show. And you're going to do it by coming on my show. You know, it's all about sharing. It's about sharing that information freely and adding value to the world.
Obviously, like what you're saying, I'm a firm believer in this and it has changed my whole career in this industry as well, right? But I think that I'm trying to play like devil's advocate here. I like to think, what is the audience thinking right now? Because I know what they are all thinking is they're thinking, okay, yeah, you know, it worked for Philip, but it's not going to work for me because no one else in the motion design space is doing content marketing. So I'll tell you like how it sits right now in motion design. So there are people, there are like a limited amount of people who have like an online business model, myself included. And then there's also a limited amount of freelance motion designers who are like teachers, who are like teaching motion design, like on YouTube, or, you know, there's a few really good Patreons that people are teaching through and stuff like that. But the problem that people are seeing and what people are kind of struggling with, this idea of that if I do a YouTube channel or podcast or whatever it is, write blog posts, how that's going to get them sort of like high paying clients, right? Because what generally tends to happen, and I think like there are people who get some more clients and stuff like that, but if you're talking directly to motion designers and you're teaching them how to use After Effects or whatever it is, then they're not going to be your paying clients, are they? So how would you reframe content marketing for motion designers so that you could essentially speak directly to their ideal clients via content marketing?
You're brilliant. That's a brilliant question. And that makes so much sense. And how I did it was when you start putting out content, you have to decide who your audience is. 90% of what I have to share is going to be valuable to creative professionals. But how could I take what I know and put it in a framework that an entrepreneur or small to medium-sized business person can recognize as something that they should pay attention to for their business? And that it's something that I know about that they might want to come to me for that service or to learn more about. I always framed the audience that I was speaking to as creative professionals and entrepreneurs and business people, because the power of branding and strategy and design is important to creative professionals, but it also is what's driving businesses these days, the creative economy. And so entrepreneurs need to know about that stuff. So whenever I talked about what I was sharing, I always shared it in terms of, okay, how can creative professionals use this to bulletproof their careers and their businesses? And how can entrepreneurs use this in their businesses to get better at what they do and make more money? It was that perspective that I took to the content that I was sharing. How a motion designer and animator could do this is if I have a friend who's actually in a mastermind group that I'm a participant in, who is a motion designer. He creates After Effects and Adobe Premiere templates for animations and sells it as a template to people. And he posts on YouTube and does, you know, tutorials about how to do it. But he also does videos on how businesses could use this template in their business, or how it might be used in this particular category of business, or where a business might want to use this template in their email newsletter, or where they could use it on their website. Or he would do a kind of inspirational video of where motion design had been used on websites for businesses. So it was more of a kind of a trend video, but geared towards businesses, not towards motion designers. So it was inspiring to motion designers because they're like, oh, wow, look at all these different businesses doing all these different kinds of things with motion design. That's inspiring, gives me ideas for like my next client. But then if you're a business coming to that, you're saying, wow, look at all these businesses who are doing cool things with motion design. I'm going to contact this guy who made this video and find out where I can get this kind of work for my car lighting company or my car dealership, whatever that is. So I think it's about framing your content and thinking about your content in a slightly different way, that you can share what you know to teach others who do what you do, but you can also share what you know through a lens of, this is how what I do is used in the marketplace. That jump from just talking to my peeps to talking to the client peeps is what will broaden your audience. The other cool thing about that, though, is that in doing that, other motion designers who are following you to learn about the techniques and tools that you use, they are learning about how to talk to their clients or how to inspire their clients or how to broaden the conversation around what it is that they do. By doing it, you're passing on not only the motion design skill set to motion designers, but you're also passing on the business skill set to motion designers.
Yeah, and I think that's really true. I just think like nobody's really trying to do that. And everybody's asking, like, how do we explain the value of motion design to our clients, you know, and whether that means existing clients who are not valuing it enough and giving them kind of lower budgets and that kind of thing, or explaining the value of motion design animation to clients to get them to invest in the first place. And I think this is where this kind of stuff could come in.
Here's where, as creative professionals, we have one of the greatest clubs to beat sense into our clients. And that club is, we can show them. We can talk till we're blue in the face about the value of what it is that we do. But the cool thing about what we do is that it's incredibly sexy and visual. Graphic design is incredibly sexual and visual, and it's still, like, when you look at motion design and animation, that is really fun. And people look at that stuff and go, I want that. One of the cool things is that you don't even have to show only what you do. You can show what other people do and inspire your clients. One of the ways that I find is the best way to get clients to want to do more work is to show them what other people are doing. The best way to get your clients motivated to move and do something is to show them how their lunch is getting eaten by their competition in a better way than what they're doing. You would be shocked. I am constantly shocked by how many clients of mine know nothing about their competition or do not look regularly at their competition. And when you show them their competition, they go, oh, wow, my website looks like Dookie, or they are doing some really cool stuff with motion or GIFs or newsletters or LinkedIn posts that I'm not doing, and I better get on the stick because they're going to take away my business. By showing clients what other people are doing, it can be very motivating to them. And the beautiful thing about being a creative is that you have really cool stuff that you can show your clients. Some of it is just about collecting visuals and inspiration of what other people are doing. It could be in category, meaning in the range of business that your client is in, or it could be out of category. And say, hey, can I get a half hour of your time? Get them on a Zoom call, screen share, and show them a bunch of stuff and say, this is what I'm seeing out there. And I was looking at your website, and I think that there's a way that you can incorporate this idea or that idea into your website in a really cool way. You have to kind of serve them up an idea and some inspiration. They may say, no, I don't have any money, but it's going to stick in their brain. And when they are ready to do it, they're going to come back to you. They're going to remember you for showing them that.
There's two things that come up there. I think one of them is, I think that could work really well for direct clients in like a certain niche, if you can kind of try and find other things in a niche space and frame it that to them in a positive way, right? Everyone wants to work for sustainability companies all the time. So it's like, hey, I'm a motion designer and I'm really passionate about sustainability and like having a positive impact on the world and all that kind of stuff. I saw that so-and-so company was doing this awesome animation. You know, we could do that for you too, or something like that. Is that the kind of framing? Like, because I know people in the audience, they want to know like exactly how can we start these conversations? Because I think once you get to know people and you build relationships, it's really easy. You know, I think it's just like getting through the door and maybe trying to find how do you find these people who are more direct clients in certain maybe niche areas that you feel like you can serve.
One way to do it is with content, and the fact that you don't even have to create, you don't even have to have a client that you know that you're going to be able to talk to about this stuff. For instance, say you are really interested in sustainability and you want to do some animation or some motion design work for a company that's into sustainability, right? Create a 10-minute video around how sustainability companies are using animation or motion design. Create a whole bunch of, you know, just screen capture videos, put it into a Keynote document or edit. Well, you're a motion designer, for God's sakes. Here I'm talking about the graphic designer. You know, you take it, you put this clips into Premiere and you edit in a few talking head shots of you talking about it. And you talk through what these companies are doing and why you think it's great, how they're going about telling their story through these pieces of media. And just put that video up on YouTube, put it up on LinkedIn. And by the way, if you put it up on LinkedIn, make sure that you send it off to like rev.com and have it transcribed, because about 90% of people who watch videos on LinkedIn don't put the sound on. They're at work or they're commuting. They read subtitles. So make sure that you get it subtitled, put the subtitle transcriptions in it if you post natively. And I would suggest posting natively to LinkedIn. And then you can post it to, you know, Vimeo and post it to Instagram and just get it out there. Put a bunch of hashtags on it, hashtag sustainability, hashtag social responsibility. And people who subscribe to those hashtags on LinkedIn or any of those other social sites, you're going to show up in their feed. They're going to watch your video. They're going to be going, wow, this guy's really got his thumb, or this woman's really got her thumb on the trend of what's happening in sustainability around what people are doing with media. I might want to talk to her, or I'm going to just connect with her. I'm going to connect with her on LinkedIn. And suddenly you see this LinkedIn connection coming from X sustainability company and you're like, wow, interesting. Okay, they wanted to connect with me. I'm going to shoot them a little note back and say, hey, by the way, did you see this video in the feed? Because this is what I put together. And if they didn't, they'll go and see it. And that's how you start those conversations. So the thing about content marketing is that content marketing is attraction. It's not promotion. There are two big differences. Content marketing is bringing people to you through attraction. Advertising is pushing a message out, which you pay for, which is about promotion. One is a magnet and one is a blowgun. <You know? laughs> And so I find it much more fun to have people come to me than to pay for my message to go out there. But what that is it puts a little more work on you, right? You have to develop a little content on spec and put it out there in the world and hope someone looks at it. But I tell you, the more you do it, the more regularly do it, and the more comfortable you get with doing it, you will start to develop a stream of people who are starting to come to you and know about you. And it's all about recognition. It's all about brand recognition, is that people are seeing you show up in your feed regularly. You're giving them valuable content. And what it does is it starts to leverage something that I call subliminal reciprocity. Subliminal reciprocity is when you are constantly giving value to somebody and inside their head, they're saying, wow, that was great from Miss X. And then, oh, wow, that feed, that article was cool. It's also from Miss X. Wow, she's got a great eye. She's sharing cool stuff. Over time, they start to think, I really value her. I really trust her point of view. I think she's got her finger on the pulse. I think I want to give her some work. She's been giving me so much stuff for free. I think that there is a subliminal kind of bank that you are putting money into every time you put content out in the world, because where people find it valuable, they will start to put you, your name, your personal brand, your presence on a shelf that is above everybody else. And it's all about putting value out in the world, but you have to do it for free for a while to get any kind of recognition or to show up in people's feeds. And that's where most people fall down. They start, but if they don't see an immediate, massive response to what they did, they give up. And you can't give up. You have to kind of treat it like a job for a period of time.
Do you think this is where maybe focusing on a niche is more valuable? You know, because then you kind of know where to go, which conferences to go to, you know, which hashtags to use, all of this kind of stuff. I know that we're probably firm believers in the niche. Yeah, I just wanted you to talk a bit about that kind of side of it as well.
I do think that you need to. I mean, here's the thing. Motion design and animation is a niche right there. So, I mean, branding and design. When I went out to start my YouTube channel 4 years ago, there were like 2-3 other, you know, regularly people showing up as branding design experts on YouTube. I mean, and this was only 4 years ago. YouTube's been around for, you know, I don't know what, a long time, more than a decade, right? Branding and brand strategy on YouTube was pretty niche. I mean, there's a whole lot of cat videos. There's a whole lot of teenage influencers. But on YouTube, there's not that many serious business people putting out content in video for free. No matter where you are in time and in the sea of content that's coming through the pipeline, I think that if you choose a category that you want to show up in, show up in it. Here's the one thing I would say, and this is the biggest piece of advice I have for people who are thinking about tiptoeing into content marketing, is choose a platform and go all in on it before you do anything else. I decided to do YouTube. I posted a YouTube video every week, same day, same time, treated it like a job for a year. And I made that commitment to myself. I said, no matter what, I'm going to post one video a week for a year. Sometimes, you know, I was working weekends in order to get that video out, but I chose YouTube. I didn't decide to do YouTube and Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and have a podcast and try to be everywhere at once. Being everywhere at once is the quickest way to disappointment, because you can't be everywhere really well at the same time, particularly at the beginning. So pick a lane, go all in on it, be consistent, don't give up. And then only expand when you start to feel like you really know what you're doing and have the bandwidth.
As everyone knows with this podcast, I did pretty much the same thing, is, you know, do the podcast for a while and just say I'm going to do it for a year and then see if anyone likes it, you know, and it turns out they did. So that's fantastic. But I think we can treat stuff as mini experiments. That's how I like to think of it. So, you know, if you're okay, I'm going to start posting more on Instagram and I'm going to do it around this topic or try this kind of thing, then you don't have to be that's what I'm going to do forever. You can just put a time period on it. Maybe even if it's different social media platforms, it could be quarterly or something like that rather than a year. I think YouTube and podcasting and stuff, you definitely have to have a bit of a longer lead time. But yeah, I think that's true. I think just all of this stuff is fairly new to freelance motion designers, and as it's new to all of us, really. But I think it's sort of scary.
And we're all learning together.
And also, I wanted to mention another thing, because we've had quite a few people who have YouTube channels on who are motion designers and stuff recently, is, you know, once you start doing this kind of stuff podcasting or doing more YouTube videos or anything, yeah, you might get clients from it, but also you're building up something that you potentially monetize in itself, you know, the old passive income thing, which isn't really passive. We're saying you've got to do all this work and stuff like that, but maybe you can build products into things that you sell instead of just client services. And you can also, you know, have sponsorships and different partnerships and things like that, and affiliate partnerships and all sorts of things. So I think it's just more future-proofing yourself as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say exactly that. So let's say you're a motion designer and animator, and you decide to start putting out videos on YouTube. You get better at that. You start to learn about metadata. You start to learn about cards and intros and how to get the most views with particular titles and how to do great thumbnails and all of the stuff that goes into getting better at YouTube. That, as you do it for yourself, becomes another skill that you can sell clients. And because you're already doing video and animation, as you get better at YouTube, next time you go to a client, you say, by the way, yes, I do animation. Yes, I do video editing. I do motion design. And I've got a YouTube channel. So if you've been thinking about getting on YouTube with some of this video that you've been doing and you want to get a little more exposure for your brand, I can teach you how to really kick it on YouTube. That is yet another skill set that you've added to your quiver. And by doing it yourself and getting better at it yourself, it becomes another service that you can sell your clients. You can say, oh, by the way, I can also manage your YouTube channel for you if you want. And you can say, I'll do all the animations and editing. I'll create your thumbnails. I'll post it up there for you. I'll write your metadata. Every business wants to be doing social media and content marketing, but none of them have the people, none of them have the time, and none of them have the ability. And if you can offer those sorts of services up to people, you are building regular, repeating revenue for yourself. And you're also developing client relationships, which are a lot deeper than just delivering a one-off animation or a one-off video.
Yeah, I think that's true. It keeps coming up. I was listening to another podcast called School of Motion, and Ryan, who was on there, was talking about it. Like, now all the agencies have to be like content agencies, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that's true. And as freelance motion designers, maybe we can like try and get ahead of the curve a little bit on that and start creating our own content.
Well, and I think that motion designers have a level of credibility that other agencies don't have, because you are a video expert.
Right.
And if you become expert at a video platform, it's a natural connection, and it's also a natural credibility factor. Let's say a PR person comes to their client and says, oh, by the way, I'll run your YouTube channel. I'm really great at video too. They're like, no, you're great at getting me in magazines. If you're a video editor, animator, motion designer, and you go to your client and say, yeah, I did these killer animations for X company and Y client, et cetera. I've got a great YouTube channel. So after I finish doing this video for you, want me to like build a YouTube channel for you because I know all about video. And that's a level of credibility that you have just because of your specialty that I think that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. If anyone does this, let us know, because, you know, I like to know what people are doing out there from listening to this podcast. So in terms of, just before we finish up, I wanted to ask you a bit more about the strategy part. Is there anywhere that we can kind of go to learn more about, you know, how to start offering strategy in our businesses and be more like professional business people?
Can I plug my new school?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I'm going to be launching an academy called Brand Design Masters Academy, which will be exactly that. I'm going to start developing video courses on how you can up-level your skills in brand strategy to sell in better, deeper projects to your clients. And one of the first courses I'm going to be doing is kind of a brand strategy 101, where I'm going to be introducing people to the basic skills and tools that are used in brand strategy so they can start to think about it that way and develop the vocabulary of having those conversations with their clients. It's going to be called the Brand Design Masters Academy, and it's going to be probably up and running within the next couple months. So I don't know what your publishing schedule is for your podcast. You'll be able to find it on branddesignmasters.com. At the moment, it's kind of a skeleton, but it's going to be built out very soon.
Cool. Well, yeah, we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. And
oh, the other place, sorry, I'll mention one other place, and this is a free place, which is my YouTube channel. Go to Philip Van Dusen on YouTube, and I've got over 200 videos for creative professionals on brand strategy, design, content marketing, entrepreneurship. And I have shared an incredible amount of information. And the really cool thing is that all my videos are like 5 to 8 minutes long. So it is bite-sized pieces of incredibly dense content. Like I put out more information in about 8 minutes than most people will do in an hour. And I've been told that millions of times. I have people who've commented on my videos and say, I learned more in the last 5 minutes than I did in 4 years in university. Those are the sorts of comments that I love getting. Because I value my time very highly and I value other people's time. And I don't want to waste people's time just sitting around and blabbing like I've done on this podcast for the last hour.
But it's good. I think there's another book as well that I read or started reading called Creative Strategy in the Business of Design. Have you read that one?
I haven't, no, but put it in
the
show
notes.
Yeah,
I will put it in the show notes because I think that's a good place to start too. So, you know, we've got your YouTube channel, we got that book. And then if people want to look at the course as well, they can. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great books out there. Oh, and by the way, on my website, philipvandusen.com, I have a page for books and resources. And so on my book page at this point, they're all affiliate links for Amazon. You know, you got to make a buck.
Yeah.
But they're probably 50 books that I recommend that are around branding, strategy, design, entrepreneurship that are on my website. So if you're looking for book recommendations, you can find some there as well.
Cool. I always think like books are good because people can, like you say, more like dip the toe in. Oh, is this something that I'm interested in? Could I do that? You know, and I think people are a bit, this is quite like a lot of new stuff that we've been talking about today, but I think it's very important.
It is. It's important. I mean, my manifesto is that I want to help creative professionals bulletproof their careers. And this is how you do it.
Well, yeah, thanks. Do you want to tell us like one main piece of advice that you think that the audience should take away from this episode?
I think the biggest piece of advice is that you can't go through your career with blinders on, that you really have to have a mindset of lifelong learning. And that means remaining open to trying things in new and different ways. And I think that the biggest and most important thing that people right now in this period of time need to pay attention to is building a range of partners who can offer services beyond what it is that you do, because that's what's going to make you stronger as a particular skill set provider, is if you can bring to the table for your clients more than what you just do. And that's what's going to help you succeed and survive in this new creative economy.
Great. Well, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and what you do?
Yeah, I've spent the last 5 minutes doing that. But essentially, go to philipvandusen.com/muse, M-U-S-E, and sign up for my newsletter. My newsletter comes out about every 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and I share kind of a blog post, a musing on branding and marketing and design. I share videos, resources, books, recommended articles, recommended videos. And that's where I'll be making all my announcements about my mastermind, about my courses, etc. So if you just join that list, you will get to know everything that I think is awesome and get to know everything that I'm doing.
Well, that's great. I'm definitely going to sign up to that. And thank you so much for coming on the show. This is fantastic.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been really, really fun.
Thanks so much again to Philip for coming on the show. That was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. I hope you got a lot out of it too. If you like this podcast, please do subscribe and leave us a rating review wherever you get your podcast from. That really helps get the podcast out there to more listeners and more motion designers like yourselves. So if you haven't already, please do come and join us in our Facebook community. You can get a free invite to our community by going to motionhatch.com/community and signing up there for our newsletter, and we'll send you an email with the invite in there. So thanks so much again for listening. I appreciate you all. See ya.